It is good to see everyone here this morning. We have visitors with us. I'm very happy to have you in our presence. If you accept an invitation to come to worship with us today, appreciate you coming. And our focus upon Jesus Christ. We remember his death. Acts 27, the disciples came together and broke bread on what day of the week? The first day of the week. Every week has a first day. So we do that weekly. And we're remembering his death. He's going to come again. So that means he is raised from the dead. And he's going to come again. Until that time, we remember the significance of his death. Do you understand about his death? An understanding heart is very important. In fact, in Matthew, the 13th chapter, we read of a parable that Jesus spoke. As he sat down in a boat and everybody stood up. Why don't we do that today? Well, it depends how long you're going to preach. But they stood up and listened to Jesus speak in parables. This was kind of something that he just started. And the reason he did that is because he wanted people to understand things and therefore seek a deeper insight in just the story he tells. But he talks about the foreground. You know, that's the parable of the sower, preacher. That's how we remember it. But the text will help you realize, no, it's a four kind of, I would say, soil sometime. But I look a little closer, it's just the grounds. There's the wayside ground that indeed is hard, probably. But it's probably there, that's where the birds came in. He sowed the seed all right, but the ground was on the wayside where they would, like in our modern days, you end a row, the tractors will just come pack it down and go a next row. But it's on the wayside. The birds came and devoured that. Some were put on rocky places. There wasn't much earth there. Therefore, would be not enough moisture. Oh, it'd last a little while, the seed would, but then it would indeed wither away. And then there's up on the thorns. It's not thorny soil. Its thorns are already growing. And the seed was spread up on the thorns. And they choke out the seed. We understand that, how that happens. And then there's the good ground. It is a good ground that we're seeking there, that indeed it has plenty of earth. It allow the moisture to retain. The seed will be able to grow and bear fruit. Luke will say, Luke 8, 100-fold. And Matthew will say 100, 60, 30. But it would be bearing fruit. Now we could close the lesson and say, well, you've heard about the parable of the sower. And well, it's a grounds, I understand that. The sower is sowing the seed, but he's emphasizing the ground. So let's say this morning you're a pessimist. And you look at this and say that there's only four kinds of ground that will please God. I got a 25% chance of fulfilling that. I don't think I'll make it. I can be a wayside ground. I can be a rocky ground. I can be a thorny ground. He said, that's not going to be good. But I've got to be a good ground. I've got a 25% chance of doing that. So, preacher, I'm not even going to start trying to understand what your teachings are. And you could look at it that way. Or you could be an optimist. I may not be able to look at things a half full glass, but a quarter full glass, pretty good to me. I'll take my chances. I think there'll be good coming from it. Even though there'll be difficult times, I'm not overlooking that. But I just think that's the way it's going to be, and I'll just kind of take my chances. Not any real basis of what it's saying. It's just I'm an optimist or I'm a pessimist. Or a lot of people say, I am not either one of those. I am a realist. Well, what was he really teaching then? What was he driving at? Instead of looking at things, well, I have a 25% chance of doing right on this ground business. You realize that this is things that a child of God needs to be aware of. And there's only one type of soil that's going to produce fruit and be persistent in doing that with patience, bearing that fruit. That's what's going to take place. There's only one type of ground. And he presents four. I'm not a pessimist, not an optimist. I'm a realist. to understand that indeed there's only that one type of soul. I understand that, so I want to be that type. Regardless of the odds that you might look at, pessimist, or how unfounded are you in all the difficulties that you're just an optimist, I'll just take my chances to go this route. Hopefully I'll be one. No, you realize there's an understanding that needs to be there. And to understand that all of these types of grounds you can experience as a Christian, you'd be all four from time to time. Wayside, you're not listening. You don't listen to the word of God. It's kind of hard ground there. It's a wayside ground. And what the devil does, because he explains it, the evil one comes. Luke names him in Luke 8 as the devil. He is indeed one that's trying to accuse us before God. And he just takes that seed before you can understand it. You heard it. You received it. But you don't understand it. And that's what the devil does on the wayside. And the moment we start tuning out, we're not connected with God and his word, we're going to be easy pluckings for the devil to take it out of our heart that we did our reading, we did our daily Bible reading, but it's not affecting how we live. And he'll take it out of our being. A Christian can go that route tomorrow. Go out that route today. You could be on rocky ground and I'm going to accept Jesus and I'm going to start living as a Christian today and I'm all enthusiastic about it. And you receive that word, but you have no root in yourself. And when tribulation comes because of the word, see, you're going to accept the word. Now you realize being a Christian is going to have some difficulties. And because of the word, you're going to be tempted in order to have to face the persecution. When you read in the book of Revelation, those who are going to be in that eternal fire, who has the list? The fearful and unbelieving. But I don't listen to God's word in order to believe it, so the devil takes it out of my heart. But rocky ground is the fact I don't have root in myself, and when the temptations come, I become a coward. I am going to bow my knee to Caesar. Revelation. I am going to realize that's how I can make my money, and I can't denounce Christ, but I'm going to have to go this route. And so they do denounce Christ. The fearful heads the least of those going to heaven because they did not withstand in times of difficulty. Christian, you can be there today. You can be there tomorrow. It's not a 20% chance of getting it right. Understanding says, here's the thorns. The thorns are there. The world is out here. And that's cast among the thorns. They will grow and they will choke out that seed. They'll choke it out. What are they? Desire for riches. Pleasures of this life. Fears of this life. We get caught up in that. And dear Christian, it's not, well, I don't have a problem because I'm going to be the good. But I only had a 20%, 25% chance of doing that. No, every Christian. Jesus wants us to know, here are the types of grounds. When my word is set forth, it is set forth, it can rise on all those, and you can experience every one of those things in your life as a Christian. And three of them won't produce any good for you or for the cause of Christ. That's realism. That's exactly the way it is. Now, we didn't invent the Bible. God has given it by. We didn't invent Jesus, but he's come. And that's why in Luke's account, and I won't do this because I'll blast your eardrums, Jesus didn't say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The Bible says he cried it out. It's that important. It's that serious that we get a hold of this and understand it. Because what we read is that we have a good heart. We'll have a heart that hears the word and understands it. And understands it. Matthew the 13th chapter. That good ground we'll read. That which is sown upon the good ground is he that heareth the word. Verse 23. And understandeth it. who verily beareth fruit, bringing forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Individually will produce fruit as we have the ability to do so. A good heart, that word good, is beautiful to look at, and it's living, and it's useful in its effects. There's a heart. You live a life, and I'll invite you to live it like Christ does. Live it according to Christ. Is that you will indeed have that type of good heart. And that good heart is think about it in the sense that that's good ground. You just feel of it. Just look at it. Loamy soil, it's going to be perfect. And it always presents that which is good. And in serving Christ, you're going to be serving others. You're going to live a life that is based upon God's teaching. And you're going to be the type of person that you like to be friends with. You'll be a person that's like to be neighbors with. You're going to be there to help your neighbor. That is just beautiful to look at. But it's so useful. It's so beneficial. Give me a heart like that, Jesus says. And you will be bearing fruit. You will be the Christian you ought to be. This morning, I would like to look briefly at the understanding heart. And I'm going to present a lot of definitions of how understanding, what it means in the English language. We'll go to middle, we've been in Middle English, we'll get words from France and Italy and all that sort of thing. But here are the various ideas of understanding. Number one, it is a heart that comprehends, it grasps ideas. Look what this Jesus saying, what he wants us to have. This is the understanding heart. In Matthew 15 and verse 10, if you have your Bibles, you can follow with me. He called to him the multitudes and said to them, hear and understand. Not that which entereth in the mouth defiles the man, but that which proceeded out of the mouth, this defiles the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended when they heard you say this? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father planteth not shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they are blind guides. And if the blind guide the blind, then both shall fall in the pit. That's the way it's going to be. Both are blind. And Peter answered and said unto him, declare unto us the parable. He said, are you also even yet without understanding? Perceive ye not that whatsoever goeth into the mouth passeth into the body and is cast out into the draught? For the things which proceed out of the heart, they defile the man. For out of the heart cometh forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, railings. These are things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not the man. Now, do you grasp that? If you didn't wash your hands before eating, you were defiled. Jewish traditions. Jesus comes along, you got it wrong. It's not what indeed goes into the mouth. It's what comes out of the heart. If you understand what Jesus says, you have understanding. But these people were just mad. They didn't like the way the application was. But all of a sudden you realize that really what defiles me is what's in my heart already. So a good and honest heart with understanding, it grasps the ideas. It's not this ceremonial thing that they had brought in and you're defiled or not defiled because of washing hands. It's what you allow to come out of your being because of your heart. And look at all the things that can happen. That's not good. Thefts, murders, fornications, bearing false witness. What comes out of the heart is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and self-control. Those are good to look at. Those are good to be associated with. So understanding comes the idea of grasping the idea. Secondly, it grasps the facts to stand under or support. Understanding, I'm standing under supporting. Did you know this is what the church is in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15? The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, the evangelist, But if I tarry not, that thou mayest know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We don't invent the truth. Church doesn't invent the truth. We're supporting the truth. The truth has already been given. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said about himself. I believe that. John 14 and verse 6. And Christians do. So what do we do? We're the support because we understand the truth. We've obeyed the truth. We're going to proclaim the truth. We are going to defend the truth because we know the truth. Now, does that mean we're infallible? No. Does that mean we can't grow? Does that mean we don't make mistakes? We're holier than thou? No. But there is absolute truth. And a younger generation needs to get a hold of that or you're going to live a weird life. It'll change all the time when somebody says this is the way it ought to be. Let's change the sex of our children to change their bodies to fit. Because they want to because they feel like they've got to do that. What's the truth? We're made in the image of God. He made us male and female. And we ought to be happy with that. And when we're not, things can go bad. But we're standing under the truth. We grasp the facts that Jesus is our Savior. We come to Him in our obedience to the gospel. We're living as Christians. We belong to Christ. We're going to honor Him. We don't fear what the world does. Because He's going to come in. We've overcome death. Oh, we're going to die. We're going to overcome death because He's been raised. And He's going to come again. And the last enemy that He'll destroy is not the Chinese, not the Russians, not whatever enemy the U.S. has. Last enemy to be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll be raised from the grave to live evermore with the Lord because we were the good ground. What does that mean? We grasp the facts and we stand under that truth and it's not going to change. We're a pillar in support of that truth. Obey it. Proclaim it. Defend it. That's for the understanding heart. Thirdly, it grasps as fixed or established. Jesus says, how long does it take for us to grasp hold of things? Let's look at this example. In Mark the 6th chapter, in verse 45 through 52, we notice that Jesus he's been doing miracles, and they're just signs of who he says he is, and trying to teach in that way. But in verse 45, straightway he constrained the disciples to enter into the boat and to go before him onto the other side to Bethsaida, while he himself sends the multitude away. Now notice verse 44, he just fed miraculously 5,000 men, not counting the wives, the women and children. And so now he said, we're going to change. Now you go on the boat. We're here in the mountain, and he does that to pray. And after he had taken leave of them, he departed in the mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he alone is on the land. Now seeing this, they were distressed and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking in the sea. And he would have passed by them. Just imagine, Jesus is walking on the sea. They're having trouble rowing the boat against the wind. He's walking on the sea. He would have passed by them. He wasn't out here for a show. He's just going to get there. Jesus doesn't need a boat. But he would have passed by them. But oh, they see him and they think he's a ghost. When they saw him walking on the sea, supposed that it was a ghost, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But he straightway spake with them. He said unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. That's Jesus. And he went unto them in the boat. And the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves, for they understood not concerning the loaves, but their heart was hardened. Now that's Mark Speaking of, hey, we're not talking about the loaves. We're talking about stealing the storm. We're talking about overcoming these waves. They did not understand the loaves. What does that mean? What is Jesus driving at? If you just saw Jesus feed 5,000 men with the loaves and fishes that they had, they didn't have a lot. I've seen these cooking shows where they're getting things ready for the Super Bowl, and they've got these foods. You can have these big old sandwiches. And so I think they'll serve about 12, 24 people. What do you think? Yeah, they'll be cutting through the jalapenos just right. Yeah, 24, 25 people they'll serve. Five loaves, two fishes, and Jesus says, 5,000 men. Not counting the women, not counting the children. You know how the children eat, and you know how the women can eat. And you know how the men can eat. They had leftovers. Wouldn't that impress you? This is something men don't, they don't do. He is from God. That was the purpose of the miracles. That here's the spokesman for God. And Jesus says, I am the Christ. He's not going to hide from that. That should have been fixed in the minds of people that accept the facts and understand it. Things are going to surprise you, and there are going to be different things that surprise you, but you realize, I should not wonder about this. When he comes along and the wind ceased at his command, and they were sore amazed in themselves because they did not understand concerning the loaves. Their heart was hardened. They weren't getting it. That's why Jesus would not do miracles in his own country, because they didn't believe on him. He's not going to keep putting on a show, as people would say. If we had this, that'd be a show. But he's not doing that because we're not grasping the reality that indeed he is who he says he is. And if you didn't get the loaves, well, why are you so amazed now? You didn't get it. I think that's what Jesus is telling us. And we all can be involved in that. It grasps even though things are not expressly stated. That's understanding. We got the understanding because he didn't expressly say it. So let's look at Mark 8 and verse 15. When he says, and he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Do you understand what he's talking about? What do you mean, leaven of Pharisees, leaven of Herod? And they reasoned with one another. This may be, dude, we have no bread. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Do you think he's talking about bread? Well, yeah, doesn't that, what, leaven? I can see that, yeah. But Jesus says, perceived, he said to them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Do you not perceive, neither understand? Have your heart been hardened? Having eyes, you see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not? And do you not remember when I break the five loaves among the 5,000? How many baskets of broken pieces took ye in? Hey, you think you took in 12? That's right. You remember that. And when the seven among 4,000, how many basketfuls and broken pieces took ye in? They said to him, seven. They remembered that. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? And what we see in Luke 12 and verse 1, Luke's account, he expressed what the leaven was. That was their hypocrisy. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Why are they still thinking about bread? They didn't realize why the miraculous part was taking place. What was that driving their heart to see? They're hardened. They didn't get it. And Jesus is kind of bringing them to understand. I didn't expressly tell you what that kind of was. Now, Luke talks about, he says that it's their hypocrisy. But why do you think I'd be talking about bread? Maybe you need to understand something deeper than that. And what amazes me with Jesus, Luke 12, all the crowds were following him. He was popular at this time. And one of the things he brings up, with all that popularity, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is their hypocrisy. And we've got to realize that sometimes we understand things, even though they haven't been expressly given. In Matthew's account, for example, we're looking at, Luke is telling it's the leaven of the Pharisee. It's hypocrisy. Duh, it's not the bread. I can do the bread. And you know, every Christian can be taken away by the hypocrisy of others. But understanding, we're going to realize we can see through that because we're going to comprehend the facts that Jesus sets forth. When you truly understand things, then you're ready to act upon them in the way that pleases God. Lydia is an example of this in Luke the 16th chapter. When now the gospel is being spread and the Gentiles are now obeying the gospel and they're being preached to, Jews and Gentiles are now able to hear the gospel. When Paul goes into Philippi, he finds they didn't have a synagogue. They didn't have enough males to have a synagogue. So kind of ladies, they were meeting at the shores, and they were seaside, and they were worshiping God in that manner. In verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, one that worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed unto the things which were spoken by Paul. Her heart was open to give heed to the things which were spoken by Paul. So she heard. And the facts that he was bringing to her about Jesus in the good news of the gospel opened her heart. How does God open your heart? Not as something miraculous is going to happen to you, but your understanding. Jesus died for me. Jesus was raised for my justification. I'm going to come to Jesus. Why is that? Because he shed his blood on the cross. I'm going to be baptized into his death when I'm baptized in water. But my heart understands I'm being connected with his death so I can be cleansed from my sins. He's the only one that can do it. And because he was raised from the dead, I know I'm about to be raised from the waters of baptism to a new life. Romans 6, 3 and 4. It's not because I felt this and I became baptized. I understand this. He died and was resurrected. And I can become a Christian by submitting in faith to the gospel. What did Lydia do when her heart was opened? She then followed through and the understanding that she had. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us saying, if you judge one to be faithful to the Lord at this moment, she sees the 20%, 25% chance. She's good ground. She's good place. Because her heart has been cleansed from guilt. If you judge me to be faithful, Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Have you ever had anybody constrain you? You're going to eat with me today, regardless. If I've been found faithful, come to my house. He couldn't say no. So when you hear and you understand, in fact, you will then give heed to that. You will act accordingly. You'll attend to it, of that which you understand. What is that good ground? He hears the word. He understands it. And he bears fruit. Luke says 100-fold. Matthew's account, 100, some 60, some 30. Also, we're not all going to be this equal in how we live our life and bearing the fruit. But we're going to be fruitful. We're going to bear some fruit because we're connected with Jesus Christ. We're good ground. We're good, beautiful on the inside. We're effectual on the outside. The influence that we can have because it's always going to be good. And it's going to be honest. We don't always live right. That's why we could be involved in being on rocky ground, the thorny ground, the wayside ground. We could be there tomorrow if we don't press on and keep in the Word of God and let it abide in us. But good ground will bear fruit according to our abilities. You're not trying to compete with someone else. You're just going to live your life and ask God for open doors and try to be a good influence all around you. We close with what Luke says in Luke 8:15. It's an honest and good heart. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he came in his first of his ministry and he cleansed the temple of the money changers, drove them out, drove the animals out. But when he comes into the temple to be crucified, goes into Jerusalem to be crucified at the end of his ministry, he does it again. And the authorities came, by what authority do you do these things? He cursed a fig tree. It should be producing, and it's not. He cursed it, and by just saying it. By what authority do you do these things? And Jesus said, if you answer my question. The baptism of John, whence is it? From heaven or from men? And you know what they did? They couldn't say which way it's going to be. You know why? Because they're not honest. And they thought about themselves, if we say it's from men, everybody knows John was a prophet. And if we say it's from heaven, why haven't we been baptized by John? They were in a hard place. Why? Because they don't want to be honest. You know what they told Jesus? We know not. You know what Jesus did? I won't tell you by what authority I do these things. But you and I understand by what authority he did those things. He came as God in the flesh. And you have an understanding heart. And what we realize, I'm going to be honest in my walk with the Lord. And when I get to the point that I'm in a hard place, either way I go, I need to realize I need to go what the right place is. And if that drives me to John's baptism during that day, so be it. They refused to be baptized of John. John's pointing out Jesus to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. They weren't going to have Jesus as their Messiah. And so honesty comes to play, but understanding says, I'm going to be right before God, and if I'm not, I'm going to get right before God. And Jesus is driving to that point, and he's not going to spend much time answering your questions when you don't have that good and honest heart. And what Luke says talks about understanding and holds it fast. That's what understanding does. You got the facts. It's never going to change. Our interpretation may need to change because we grow in the Word. We realize we may refine those things. But becoming a Christian is not complicated. You realize, I'm a sinner. Jesus, without sin, was the perfect sacrifice. And what Luke says, that wayside ground is the ground that, verse 12, that the devil comes, and when you don't understand, you has been planted and you don't understand, he takes away so you don't understand, so you can believe and be saved. This morning, don't let the Word of God go by the wayside. Jesus cried out, he that hath ears, let him hear. And we plead with that same emotion. That same thought that if you haven't come to know Christ, then come to know him. Understand what you're doing before you do it. But what the devil does, I don't want you to understand so you can believe and be saved. He doesn't want that. God wants you to be saved. Jesus Christ died so you could be saved. He was resurrected so you could be saved. And you can have the hope of heaven. And you can face the difficult times. You can face persecution. Are you going to be tempted to get rich? Have money? Let's think about your career instead of Christ. You're going to have to realize that's a reality in my life. I've got to stay connected with Christ. Follow his teachings. I want to be the good and honest heart that understands. And you will bear fruit. You know, save your soul for heaven and others that will go with you that you influence. If we can help you in any way to come to know the Lord, come as we stand and as we sing.